O God, in the Holy Trinity, there exists a beloved community in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for bringing us into that beloved community of divine love and pray that we might foster it on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. This week's collect notes that from Jesus we receive the fruits of his redeeming work and are to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. One of the fruits of this redeeming work of Jesus is the reconciliation that we are given with God, and the opportunity for this reconciliation to be a rule of life for us as we strive to follow him as our Lord. And a good shorthand way of talking about this is to call it beloved community. Through the sacrifice of Christ, we have been brought into the beloved community by God's grace. And in following his blessed steps, we find our fulfillment as we live as a beloved community. Now, at St. Luke's, you know that we've been talking about and striving to become the beloved community. And using today's scripture texts, we will consider what exactly that phrase, beloved community, connotes. Beloved community as a term was first used in the early 1900s and was popularized by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1950s. In speaking about the beloved community, King said, "There is another element that must be present in our struggle for justice and peace that then makes our resistance and nonviolence truly meaningful. That element is reconciliation. Our ultimate end must be the creation of the beloved community." As you know, beloved community is a part of our identity at St. Luke's. And what's so helpful about having this at the core of who we are is that it can cover so many things that are important to us. Beloved community describes our relationship with God that is rooted in abundant grace and expressed through intentional worship. Beloved community describes the fellowship and affection that we have for one another. So when we can one day get back to having social events, that is an essential aspect of becoming the beloved community at St. Luke's. Being beloved community describes our relationship with creation and our commitment to proper environmental stewardship. Beloved community, of course, also points toward the goal of our work in racial justice and equity. And with an eye towards becoming the beloved community, we see that theme throughout today's scripture. Genesis 45 gives us a glimpse into what beloved community is. An inadequately short summary up to this point is that Joseph is the youngest of 12 brothers. Though he was the youngest, he was the one through whom God had chosen to act, which made the other brothers jealous. They had planned to murder him, but instead they just sell him into slavery in Egypt. In Egypt, Joseph rises up the ranks and becomes Pharaoh's chief of staff, right-hand man. Now, there was a severe famine in the land, but Joseph adequately prepared for that famine. His brothers come in search of grain and the opportunity for reconciliation or vengeance is now open. It's a fascinating story. Start at chapter 37 and read through 46. And there's a few things of note about the beloved community here. The first is that it comes through the hard and honest work of reconciliation. When Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, who did not know that this person standing in front of them was their long-lost brother, Joseph says to them, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into slavery." He doesn't skip over the truth-telling. He doesn't shrug it off in the interest of keeping things polite. In the beloved community, love is at the center. And as we know from Scripture, love is patient Love is kind. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We also hear in Ephesians that the way that we grow into the full stature of Christ is by speaking the truth in love. As we all know, love is hard work. Love is a commitment to one another. Love can endure painful truths of our past, and indeed, this honesty is the only way that we can find reconciliation. There's also a sense of humility and trust that is required. Joseph nor his brothers understood how God was working despite their evil intentions. The brothers acted out of jealousy and malice, but God acts out of mercy and salvation. We might think that we are the ones in control, but it is God who remains sovereign. Now, it's not that God made the brothers sell Joseph into slavery. Rather, God always has another move. This is what St. Paul is getting at in today's passage from Romans, that we are all disobedient, and yet we are all shown mercy. Whether we recognize God's hand at work in the world about us or not, God remains active. When we trust that God is the one in charge, though, we can find reconciliation, even when we thought it would be impossible. And we also see that beloved community opens for us a new possibility. Joseph certainly could have returned evil for evil. He could have had his brothers thrown in prison, or worse. But he doesn't, because love shows him another way, the way of reconciliation, where relationships are restored. Martin Luther King also said that love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. Physical force can repress, restrain, coerce, destroy, but it cannot create or organize anything permanent. Only love can do that. Yes, love, which means understanding, creative, redemptive goodwill, even for our enemies. This is the solution to our race problem, King writes. The beloved community is manifest when we prioritize and pursue the good of the other. We don't ask what they've earned. Rather, we love them as if loving them were the only thing that matters, because love is the only thing that matters. Joseph did not need to reconcile with his brothers, but he did not want to live as a slave to retribution or brokenness. Instead, what happens is beloved community. And these 12 brothers would go on to become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel through which Jesus Christ was born. The beloved community opens new possibilities in the very same way that the resurrection opened for us the way of new life. And one of the hallmarks of the beloved community is sheer joy. Today's psalm is one of the shorter ones, but it is wonderfully rich. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. And that word good is an important biblical word. Back in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein, then God declares all of them to be good. And this sort of goodness is not an evaluation. Goodness here is about intentionality. When God calls creation good, it means that it is as God intended it to be. So when we proclaim that it is good, when the people of God are with one another, we are saying that this beloved community is how things are intended to be. Beloved community goes with the grain of the universe. Now, the last time that we gathered together for worship was March 8th, over 5 months ago. And I know it's going to be different and is going to give us some new challenges to work through, but I am really excited, more than I really expected to be, about being able to resume in-person worship this evening with outdoor worship. Because it really is meet and right when the people of God dwell together in unity. We are incarnational people, and while I am incredibly thankful that technology has kept us connected during this pandemic, there is something good and holy and proper about actually being with one another. No, it will not be the same, but it will be good and pleasant to again gather as the beloved community of St. Luke's. That's the signature of beloved community, the joy of being gathered together. And turning to the gospel text from Matthew, we see how it is we become a beloved community. Often the assumption is that holiness and goodness come by the things that we take on. You'll hear a lot of Christians talk about the importance of scripture and prayer, and to be very clear, those are very important and good things. But those things are not the ends, they are the means. The end is partaking of the abundant life of beloved community that God intends for us all. So if you come to church on Sunday and defraud the poor on Monday, then that is not following in the blessed steps of Jesus. This is what Jesus is getting at when he says, "What comes out from the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles." The fruits of salvation are not about what goes in, but rather what comes out. You can try to bake a cake with rotten eggs, but you're just going to get a rotten cake. The beloved community does not come through good intentions or avoiding difficult truths or staying at the surface level. No, beloved community is about our diet. Do we consume violence and oppression in our lifestyles? Do we dine on partisanship in our news sources and conversations? Do we seek first the kingdom of God, or is that merely an afterthought? Jesus tells us what we've all heard before. You are what you eat. And if we sit at the tables of selfishness, of self-righteousness, of fear, of greed, of looking down on others, of jealousy, then that is what will come out of us. And this is why Jesus gives us the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. It's so much more than a meal. The Eucharist is a way of life. It is a way to come together as the beloved community, to receive God's grace and mercy, to be reassured of God's love, to be encouraged to follow in Jesus' blessed steps. We receive the Eucharist so that we can rest in God's grace and become Eucharistic people. And being nourished by the grace of the Eucharist, what comes out of us are the things that build up the beloved community, things like humility and forgiveness and compassion and a zeal for justice. The beloved community is the body of followers of Jesus who have thankfully received the fruits of his redeeming work and seek to follow him daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. The beloved community is a way of being in which truth-telling, reconciliation, and resurrection happen. The beloved community is full of joy and goodness, as it is what God intends for us. And beloved community is something that comes on earth as it is in heaven by God's grace, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and share those gifts with the world. Indeed, how good and pleasant it is when the children of God dwell together in beloved community.